On Wednesday's episode of the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast with Mr. Steel Roden and Mr. Big Flip Livingstone, it is time to break down a number of intriguing storylines from around the world of the NHL, including the Tampa Bay Lightning sweeping away the Florida Panthers, more Connor McDavid magic, and a whole lot to talk about from the St. Louis, Colorado series. Let's break it all down, baby, on today's episode.
You're Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily podcast on fantasy hockey. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hockey heads, degenerate gamblers, stand up. This is your show. It is the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast with Steel and Flip. Thank you so much for making us your first listen every single day. And thank you so much for bearing with us over the last couple days of technical difficulties. Up here in Canada, Southern Ontario was hammered with a big-time storm. Steel and I have been, matchstick and gas in it. No power the last couple of days. So thank you for bearing with us and the lack of episodes. But trust me, we are back in a big, big way. Just in time, Steel, to break down a number of very intriguing storylines in the world of hockey. Connor McDavid doing his thing, changing the momentum in that Battle of Alberta out west. We're going to talk about some McDavid magic. We're going to talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning sweeping away the Florida Panthers. We both had the Panthers. I know I had the Panthers. We'll talk about picks. We'll talk about bets, of course. But the most intriguing and maybe topical storylines to be looking at, Steel. Of course, we have Colorado and St. Louis going toe-to-toe tonight. Lot going on in this series. On ice, off ice, injuries, big-time goals, some nastiness going on with Nazem Kadri. Anywhere you want to take it, my friend, I'm happy. I'm happy to be back. We are back. Let's talk about Colorado-St. Louis, which is turning into a little bit of a nasty series.
Yeah, and you know, we kind of expect that from Nazem Kadri. I think as Toronto Maple Leaf fans, we've seen this many, many times. I don't think it was a dirty play. I don't think it was intentional. And when you look at the replay, he's getting hit from the side of him. I can't remember who was on him there, but he was getting hit from the side. His toe also picked in the ice as well, which made him lose his balance just a little bit more. So Wasn't intentional, but it was a hard collision. So I didn't expect Jordan Binnington to come back in this series. You could see as he was trying to like move around in the crease, his right leg seemed to be very, very injured, and the doctors were very concerned about that. So he's done for the series. I don't know if you saw the post game interview where he potentially got a water bottle thrown at him, and he thinks that it might have been Jordan Binnington, but who knows? That was really funny, but I was really hoping we wouldn't kind of see this come back from Nazem Kadri. I thought that, you know, I would have really liked for this to stay out of his game. Obviously it was an accident, but it just sucks that it's him, of course, being the one that does this.
Realistically, Steele, the play is the play. And I think it was one of those bang, bang plays that really could have gone either way. Sure. Could he have maybe let off the gas a little bit and, you know, eased up, but this is a puck battle and this is the playoffs. I think he was trying to run the goalie? No, it's unfortunate that he got hurt 100%. But the fact that everything that's come out, the water bottle is one thing. Hey, little shenanigans, chuck a water bottle in a guy's directions because you're pissed off. Okay, little childish. Is it funny? Yes. But all of this stuff about Nazem Kadri's wife and his family taking all this kind of racist taunts, and I don't know if you saw any of the screenshots that she shared, just disgusting stuff from so many St. Louis fans that are saying, aside from the disgusting racist vitriol that's being spit, just some dumb stuff about Blues owning the Habs. Are they not checking the score? Because this series is about to slip away from St. Louis. The goaltending situation is obviously not good because Ville-Husso looks like a shadow of the guy that we saw down the stretch. So the Blues might be in trouble. But what I wanted to say is this. I'm just disappointed in NHL fans. I'm disappointed when I see this out of hockey fans because, unfortunately, this sport and this league especially has not done a good job of being inclusive. And unfortunately, Nazem Kadri's family, not Nazem Kadri, the hockey player, his family has to deal with this kind of BS. and it's not okay, Steele, and that's a whole other thing. But at the end of the day, the Blues are in trouble now, because if they have to deal with Nazem Kadri putting up that kind of performance night in and night out, we already know that this Colorado team is quite balanced.
Yeah, and that's something I wanted to mention too, because as we were talking about X factors and looking back at the first round series against Nashville, I really thought Nathan MacKinnon was going to be that X factor guy, even throwing Cale Makar as well, the two guys who kind of led them in the first round against Nashville. Mm-hmm. I thought their game would have elevated. And it's exactly what we've seen from the past in Nathan MacKinnon. He's not showing up in the second round, but thank God you've got Gabriel Landeskog, Nazem Kadri, Arturi Lehkonen, the pickup at the trade deadline, playing phenomenal in the postseason right now too. Josh Manson, Eric Johnson on the blue line stepping up as Cale Makar has kind of shrunken offensively in the second round. They're still playing great hockey, but I thought they would have been a lot better, producing a lot more on the score sheet. But thank God that Landeskog, Rantanen, and Kadri, they're picking up their play in the second round, and that's why they've got a 3-1 series lead against the Blues.
Testament to the depth, a testament to, really, I would say a little bit, that front office in Colorado has put together a very, very good team from top to bottom. Hey, I want to give some credit to, and maybe, I don't know if you're done with this series, because there is a lot to talk about, but I was just going to quickly mention, this is one of those balanced teams, and look at what Tampa Bay just did to another balanced team in four games. That's all kind of impressive. We don't need to jump over that series just yet, because I just want to say this, Steele. I don't know, and I want to hear your opinion on this. After seeing the way Nazem Kadri performed in such a big put-up moment for him, so much hate, and I don't know if you saw his comments toward Berube, the coach, who had on the St. Louis coach, who had a chance to kind of, really shut down all that kind of BS that Naz has had to deal with. He goes, no, I don't deal with that. I don't comment on that. And it lit a fire under Nazem Kadri. And look at what now the position the Colorado Avalanche in. Do you give this Blues team any shot at coming out of this series?
No, I don't. And I think for the both of us, we both had the Avalanche in six. Yep. Looking at this game coming Wednesday night, I actually think Avalanche can just put this away in game five at home. And I'm not saying that it's not going to be a close game or it's going to be a tight battle. It probably will be, but with the way they're playing and the way their other guys are stepping up right now, all up and down the entire lineup, even on the back end too, they're playing the best hockey right now. And that's exactly what you need to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. And it's been a long road for the Colorado Avalanche. So I'm finally glad that, they're kind of beating their second round woes right now. And I think they can either get it in game five, but if it goes to game six, then you and I are correct with the amount of games as well.
We'll take that for sure. At the end of the day, Binnington going down is unfortunate. Those are one of those things in the playoffs, right? You have to avoid injury as well. You have to battle back from these key injuries. That's part of hockey. That's a part of any sport down the stretch in terms of playoff, success. I think this series is over. That's not exactly a bold statement, but good for Nazem Kadri. That's what I wanted to say after all of that kind of thing going on off the ice. That was a special performance. Good for Naz. That's what you want to see from someone taking that kind of off-ice hate. Steele, so much to talk about. So much to talk about out west in the Battle of Alberta and back east with the beautiful, perfect performance from the Tampa Bay Lightning against the Florida Panthers team that I pegged. We're going another round. Lots to talk about there, but let me just show some love to Rock Auto. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's almost impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock everything that you need. Don't go through all the seemingly intimidating and pointless questioning over your car while you wait for the person behind the counter to look up all the parts on the computer. You have everything you need right in your pocket. Go to rockauto.com from home. Save time and save money. Don't spend 30, 50, or even 100% more on parts from a stock chain store when you can save big time with Rock Auto. It is a family-owned business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto has reliably low prices for every single customer, and they have everything you need from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and now even a selection of interior carpeting. Make sure you check them out. Explore the website today. It is phenomenal, easy to use, and is your solution for all your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us section so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
Thank you for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every day. For your next listen, you have to check out the Locked On Now Podcast. Nightly recaps of every NHL game with analysis from our local experts. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts, just like this podcast right here. So if you haven't yet, please hit the subscribe, hit the follow button. Once you do, you'll get all the latest episodes of the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast. And Flip and I appreciate all the love and support out there. So thank you so much. We're so close to 100 subscribers on YouTube. So make sure you hit the subscribe button. And it means the world. So it means the world to us. So thank you so much for tuning in. And Flip, like, there is a lot to talk about. We've been pretty much dark for the last 2.5-3 days here in Ontario. We just got power back. I haven't been able to watch the games, but I've been trying to keep up with the scores and what's been happening. So we're doing our best here, but there's been a lot to talk about. Big thing in the NHL right now. Panthers get swept in the second round. I kind of want to throw it over to you first. What your thoughts and your take on this is, because I'm fuming over here. I'm fuming.
Look, at the end of the day here, Steele, maybe we just need to watch more hockey. I don't know. Let's just leave it at this. The Tampa Bay Lightning deserve all the credit in the world and then some. Because the Toronto Maple Leafs went blow for blow with them. And yes, they lost the series. Tampa Bay was the better team in the end. They showed up. But I thought they took a peg out of them. You know what I'm saying? I thought that after that, it would have been a battle against Florida. Because realistically, those last couple of games could have gone either way. Right? A bounce here, a stick there. It's a different series for Toronto. That one was done. This one's now done too, Steele, and this Tampa Bay team is pushing close to dynasty status with another cup. Three cups in a row? My goodness, including one in the bubble. And I know people are talking about whatever, it wasn't as fun to watch. That may have been true, but playing in the bubble was a difficult thing, and they won one of those cups as well. I don't know. Where do you go in Florida now? You mentioned Joe Thornton, another cupless run. Claude Giroux makes a move to be denied in the second round in kind of spectacular fashion. Where do you want to start here? Because there's a number of things we could take this. Maybe, aside from the brilliance of Vasilevsky, where's Jonathan Huberdeau at? Where's Barkov at? I talked about that third line till they were blue in the face and they were nowhere. So where do you want to go with this?
Look, there's a lot to talk about. This might even cover the entire episode because there's a lot to digest here. I'll start with the fact that this is an utter failure of a season for the Florida Panthers. Like, just top to bottom, you work as hard as you did in the regular season. You're the President Trophy winning team. You're the highest scoring team in the NHL. And you only score 3 goals in the entire second round. You scored less than a goal a game in the second round. 3 goals in 4 games. And exactly what you said, where the heck is Jonathan Huberdeau? Where the heck is Alexander Barkov? Yeah. Where the heck are these players? Because we've been talking about this team having one of the best depths, maybe even the best depth in all of NHL right now.
Yep.
And none of them really showed up in the playoffs. Like, you have Carter Verhaeghe leading your team with 12 points and then Claude Giroux with 8 points. Jonathan Huberdeau, he had 1 assist in the second round, finished with 4 points in the playoffs. Sorry, 5 points in the playoffs. Yep. Barkov, 7 points in the playoffs. Duclair, Bennett, Reinhardt, 4 points or under. So, like, these guys who have been scoring at will during the regular season just completely went ghost mode in the second round and even pretty much in the first round because, the blowout losses to the Washington Capitals weren't pretty either. So, to me, this is a season where it is a complete, utter failure. You go out and get Claude Giroux, Ben Chiarot, bolster pretty much your entire roster, and you get swept in the second round. Everyone was expecting this to be a huge battle, probably the biggest series to watch, the Battle of Florida, because of, what happened last season or the 2 seasons ago in the playoffs. To me, it's an utter failure. I also look at it this way, is that it did take the Tampa Bay Lightning a very long time to get to where they are right now.
Yeah.
We saw them back, I believe it was 2014, when they made it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost to the Chicago Blackhawks. I believe that's the year. We've seen them be in the semifinals or the conference finals many times. We've seen them get swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets, even when that was probably the best team they've ever had. And they come back the next year, win a Stanley Cup, and then the next year, Stanley Cup. So it does take time to finally get it right.
Yep. Good point.
But to me, I still view this as a huge failure for the Florida Panthers. This had to be their year. It was them and the Colorado Avalanche going to be in the finals. I think, you know, a lot of people had them in the finals together. To me, it's another failure, but you're right. You ought to give credit to the Tampa Bay Lightning because they showed up in the second round without Braden Point.
You mentioned something about their trade deadline acquisitions, and I know Ben Chiarot was slightly before the deadline, but they paid a pretty penny to get these players. And as much as Ben Chiarot is a nice addition for a playoff push, now you take a look at a team that has a lot of salary in the cap, and how about no first-round picks for the next three seasons, one second-round pick in the next three seasons, and one third-round pick? So they paid a pretty hefty price for their future, and this team is getting old in a hurry, Steele, from goaltending out. So all of a sudden, this failure, which I'm going to call it a failure as well, props due to the Tampa Bay Lightning. But to get swept away and put up three goals when you have arguably the most offensive depth, for sure in the East, if not other than the Colorado Avalanche in the entire league, that comes down to who didn't perform and are they coming back next season, because they're going to have to take a long, long, hard look here. But still, whoever comes out of Carolina, New York, is the underdog against the Tampa Bay Lightning team that is now picking up steam. And what would the one thing you could say they really needed is rest. They sweep away the Florida Panthers, and now they get to recover for at least three or four nights, especially if this series drags to seven with, well, Carolina and New York starting to look like it's going that way, Steele, I would say.
Yeah.
That's absolutely huge for a team that's played more hockey than any other. You just mentioned it. Conference runs, Stanley Cup champions runs that came up short, and then two cups in a row. This is an aging team that needs that rest. This could be that kind of thing that if it comes down to Tampa Bay, Colorado, man, does that little bit of extra rest mean a lot? It's exciting any way you slice it, my friend. But don't know where the Florida Panthers go from here. Where I would like to go from here, though, is out west to the Battle of Alberta.
Yes, sir.
Connor McDavid magic. And why don't we start with a tweet that I threw out over the weekend saying, remember when we used to say Austin Matthews was better than Connor McDavid? And maybe there's still some conversation to be had about that. But right now, Steele, number 97 is doing some very, very special and historic things for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah. Number 97 is number one in the world at this point.
Thank you.
You know, at the end of the regular season, to me, it was wholeheartedly Austin Matthews, the number one player in the world. I thought the way he elevated his game in the regular season, you know, should be in the conversation for Selke Trophy. Fit more physical, better defensively, shooting the puck more, 60 goals on a season. A bunch of accomplishments this year. I thought he was the best, even though McDavid had, you know, 20 odd more points than him in the regular season. What Connor McDavid is doing right now in the postseason, though, is just it is amazing to witness. The fact that we're able to like just watch him play this game and just amaze everybody when he has the puck, or even when he doesn't have the puck.
Yeah,
he's just one of those generational, you know, incredible players to watch. The moves, his movement, his edge work. It's fascinating to see that someone is capable of doing this at this speed in the game as well. So
yeah,
23 points in 10 games.
Yeah.
He's proving to everyone that he hasn't been capped at this level. There's a level beyond that and a level beyond that. And he's just doing it every single night. So for me, I'm absolutely amazed. As of right now, I'm with you. McDavid is number one in the world. And, you know, as of right now, he's number one. He'll probably continue that into next season as well.
We throw out the term changing the game a lot when you talk about sports, right? He's changing the game or whatever. They're changing the game. Watching how McDavid is playing right now, you know, I'm 33 years old and I haven't watched 100 years of hockey history. And I understand that I haven't seen some of the best players ever to play. I get it. But what this man is doing with how he is playing the game, he's changing it because he's almost playing basketball on ice right now. Give and go, using his body, setting picks, possession. It's impressive on a whole bunch of other levels aside from the skating, the flashiness, the edge work you said, just the bare bones, how he's getting it done is so impressive. And I've been having my head down for a reason because I saw this stat earlier and I thought it was important to read this one off. Sets a record for the first player ever, ever to record 9 multi-point games in his team's first 10 playoff games. There is all kinds of special things happening for this Edmonton Oilers team because of Connor McDavid. And just look at how good he is making Evander Kane. Evander Kane's career has just been resurrected. And when Evander Kane gets paid this offseason, there better be a fat, old, brand new truck sitting in Connor McDavid's driveway because his career has now been resurrected to the point where he is relevant again. And I think Evander Kane can thank Connor McDavid for a lot of that. But look at what's happening now, Steele. Another very balanced team, top to bottom in the Calgary Flames. Hey, this series is far from over. I'm not trying to talk about Florida getting swept. I still think there's a lot to be played in this Battle of Alberta. But if they don't get a handle on Connor McDavid and soon, and I don't know what that strategy is. Like, do you hack a shack him? Every time he's around, you just cross-check him in the knee? I don't know, but if they don't figure something out, Steele, this Edmonton Oilers team might be defying us once again and moving on.
Yeah, well, to start with Evander Kane, you know, he's making me eat my own words right now because, you know, back after the first round, I made a comment saying that there's no way he's going to get a hat trick. It's not going to happen again. And he comes out and gets a natural hat trick against the Calgary Flames in game 3. So he's making me eat my own words. But, you know, again, what a complete difference the first round to the second round for the Calgary Flames is right now. You got great goaltending, not a lot of offense, but you were great defensively. You got great goaltending out of Jakob Markstrom and a complete 180 from round 1 to round 2. You know, obviously game 1 was just crooked on both sides, but not great goaltending from either team. Same thing again from same thing again in game 2 and 3. From Jakob Markstrom. So they're not helping him defensively, but he's also not on his game right now. So as Matthew Tkachuk said, they're getting beat by one guy, maybe even two, if you want to throw Leon Draisaitl in there right now.
I would.
His playmaking ability is right there alongside Connor McDavid.
Yes. Yes.
They're getting beat by two guys. They got to figure out a way to stop them. If not, Markstrom's being left out to dry right now. So if they can't stop them, they got to find a way to help Jakob Markstrom in net.
I think there's one point that maybe is going slightly overlooked by a lot of people here, and it's the addition of Zach Hyman to that top forward group in Edmonton. He's providing that little bit of stability and depth and sandpaper that this Edmonton Oilers team has not had. And I really think that we saw after the first series against LA, what did we say? If they can barely get by LA, they're really going to need to elevate their game and really put up some offensive performance to get by a Flames team that we know has that balance scoring. And look at what's happened. Zach Hyman's rolling. Evander Kane is rolling. We know the two big guys are rolling. And that's a trickle-down effect of confidence, Steele, because that whole team is playing with a bit of swagger. Even Cuckoo Mike Smith seems to have a bit of swagger back. I don't think this series is even close to over. It has 7 games written all over it, in my opinion, even though, you know, the momentum may have swung in Edmonton's way in a clear fashion. I still think, and, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but I still think that there is a lot more battle left in this series.
No, I completely agree with you. I don't think, you know, it's only game 4 right now. There's a lot of hockey left, and, you know, game 2 and game, you know, pretty much every game has been lopsided, you know, 9-6, 5, what was it, 5-1 or 4-1 in the second game, and then 4-1 in the third game. So it's it's been a little lopsided on both sides, some crooked numbers, but there's a lot of hockey left. Calgary Flames need to figure out a way to stop those two guys. And if they can figure out how to do that, they have a really good chance at winning this series.
Yeah, 9-6, then 5-3 and 4-1. So
yeah,
maybe we see that tighten up a bit. Like, I could see that definitely happening. And actually, Steele, I don't know if you even want to throw out a big-time bet or not for tonight's game. St. Louis on the brink here against Colorado. That is the matchup tonight. We obviously aren't breaking down big-time bets and DFS selections as we would with only one game on the board. So I figured Steele and I would just throw out our favorite pick of the night. One pick, a lock, and I can start if you'd like, Steele, because we just talked about a series tightening up in Edmonton. And I can see tonight with the St. Louis Blues on the brink, this being more of a low-scoring game. And I know the Colorado Avalanche are rolling, and we have Ville Husso struggling for confidence. We still know that he has it in him to be a goalie that could steal a game. I don't know if they're going to steal it or not, because I still would lean Colorado to put them away. Yeah. But I like the under 6.5 steal. I could see this being a 3-2, 4-2 with an empty net, that kind of thing. A lot more tight checking, because the St. Louis Blues are that kind of gritty team that aren't going down without a fight tonight. That doesn't mean that they won't still lose, because like I said, I'll probably be sprinkling on the Colorado Avalanche as well. But for my Wednesday night lock, our one pick, mine is give me the under in that St. Louis Colorado game, Steele. And I don't know what you think about that one, my friend.
I'm not sure about the under, but I do.
That's fine.
I do agree with you that this could be not a low scoring game, but a tight game where, it could be a 4-2 with an empty net, or a 4-3 kind of game.
Okay.
Kind of the same, remotely same to what we saw in game one, where it was a 3-2 overtime win for the Colorado Avalanche. Yep. But that also means that Ville Husso has to stand on his head as well. So
he has to.
As we've seen besides game one against the Minnesota Wild, he's just not that guy right now in the playoffs. And we said this before the regular season too. He doesn't have the experience, and that might affect his play going into the series, especially against probably the best team in the NHL right now, the Colorado Avalanche. So without Jordan Binnington, the way Ville Husso is playing right now, I don't know if the under is a good bet, but I am going to take the Avalanche on the money line, because I did say the Avalanche in six, but with what I'm seeing right now, some of their guys stepping up and kind of filling offensively while McKinnon and McCarr kind of took a step back for some reason.
Right.
I still think the Avalanche can win in at home in game five. And I've got the Avalanche on the money line for my lock of the night.
I'm feeling it. You know, I just, when I look at this setup coming into tonight's Steele, everything that has been said in the media, everything that we saw transpire on the ice, and I know Colorado scored six goals the other night. this feels like one of those under spots. Ville Husso is the key. He's the key to them winning, and he's the key to this under. So if he can even scrap together even some semblance of a good game, I think this one stays under the number. But that's why you tune in. That's why we will be tuning in, and why you should continue to follow us on this show, because we're bringing that hot fire, and we back, baby. We back in a big way.
Yes, sir. And look, it's a do or die game for the St. Louis Blues. So yes, everyone has to show up for game five, especially Ville Husso. We're excited to see what happens. And thank you so much for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every single day. Now you have to make your second listen, Locked On NHL. From the first round matchups to each Stanley Cup kiss, Locked On NHL covers the playoffs like no other. Hear the latest opinions and news from local experts every Monday through Friday. Just like this podcast right here, we're available each and every day, Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. So if you haven't yet hit the follow or subscribe button, please do so, and you'll get the latest episodes of the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast. And thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode with Flip and I. Thank you so much for tuning in. Like we said off the top, it's been a couple crazy days without power, but we appreciate you sticking with us and hopping back on for this episode. Good luck with all your bets tonight, and we shall see you back here again tomorrow.
Peace.